In our last study, we were noticing the big riot that broke out in the city of Ephesus, and which, in a certain sense, ended Paul's ministry there for the time being. And now in chapter 20 in the book of Acts, we go on in Paul's further journeying as he is traveling along through the country from church to church, preaching to the people and trying to tell people more and more about the truth that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we watch the Apostle Paul going along, you and I can learn things about how we might do with people. Because if in Paul's day he was beset by the problems which arise because of difference of opinion, you and I know that that continues to this day. Oftentimes, difference of opinion causes all manner of distress to different people, and we'll see it happening here again. But we're reading on now in chapter 20, and as we do, we will notice certain things that happen, and in this we will learn something about how the Christian gospel is spread and what one should do about it. So in chapter 20, beginning at the first verse, "And after the uproar was ceased," the word uproar is used with reference to that big riot that they had in Ephesus, in which the whole people were roused against Paul and his company because of the inspiration and instigation of some silversmiths that were afraid they were going to lose their trade. And then they got the people all roused up by other things, other ideas. "After the uproar was ceased and things had quieted down, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." I want you to notice that he did not continue on in Ephesus at that time. This is not a case of being cowardly. This is a case of being wise. When people have been all aroused in opposition and antagonism and in quarreling and in fussing, that's no good time to start for one of the people they've been fussing about to come in and try to preach to them. They didn't want to listen to him, and he didn't want to take the time to be there. And so I read in verse 2, "When he had gone over those parts," on over into Macedonia, "and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece." Had given them much exhortation. That's just a single little phrase. And you know what that refers to. It means that Paul preached and preached and preached and preached. He preached in this church and in that congregation and in that home and in this company of people and in this church and in that congregation and on and on and on. Paul kept preaching and teaching with much exhortation. Exhortation is urging people to live up to what they believe. Urging people to act on what they believe. Urging people to believe in God. Urging them to faith. Urging people to obey God. Urging them to obedience. Urging people to trust God. Urging them to trust. And urging people all the way through to have dealings with God. This kind of thing we need to talk to each other, especially when there's trouble. Because you see, when there's trouble, we get interested in the troublemakers. And we get interested in the people who cause us trouble. And our attention is diverted away from God. But Paul went through those parts, had gone over those parts, had given them much exhortation. He came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And you know those 3 months were not a case of just 3 months being idle. He'd be continuing with his ministry and with his teaching and his preaching around among those people. He was there for 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. You see, he had aroused certain people who were in opposition to him, and they didn't forget it. And wherever they had a chance, they were going to cause him trouble. And when he knew that if he was going to go into Syria, the Jews would be waiting there for him to make trouble, his consistent policy was to avoid conflict wherever possible, so he decided to return through Macedonia, going back the way he had come. So they're accompanied him. In verse 4, you're going to get a list of the names, and we can just look at them as we pass. They're accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, or Sopater, of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Those are names that you and I won't ordinarily use, but it just indicates that there was quite a company of people who were traveling along with Paul. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And those who study in here feel that the writer of the book of Acts, which we think was Luke, the one who wrote the book of Luke, and that he evidently was along with Paul at this time. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. This is just a report of journeying and preaching, and now they had come to Troas, where they were for 7 days. And verse 7, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. By the way, have you ever had anyone raise some question with you as to why the Christian church observes Sunday, the first day of the week, instead of Saturday, the last day of the week, the seventh day of the week? And have you ever heard people argue that the Christians do not observe the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, because we worship God on the first day? Well, whatever they may have in the merits of their argument one way or another, this will draw your attention that in the life of the Apostle Paul, while he was still an active missionary, here you have him in the city of Troas. We read that upon the first day of the week, which we all call the Lord's Day, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, this was to have the Lord's Supper. We say the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. They had this sacrament at each Lord's Day. And there are some of our churches, you know, to this day continue that practice. And each Lord's Day they make it possible for a person to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper if they want to. Some other denominations don't do it that way. But apparently the early church did it that way at least once a week. And this seemed to be the case here. Because on the first day of the week the disciples came together to break bread, to have what we commonly call their love feast. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. I know that every person that's accustomed to going to church and listening to preaching, and especially when the preaching gets long, you'll all smile or you may shudder when you read this. But the fact of the matter is that Paul preached right on until midnight. And by the way, when you're thinking about that, Have you ever stopped to think what Paul probably was talking about? Have you ever wondered why he would preach that long on any particular subject, and what it would be the people would listen to that they'd want to listen to that long? Missionaries can tell you about this kind of thing. It happens with them. There are missionaries that will have a stopover at some railway station, and people will come out at all hours of the day or night, if they can just hear the missionary talk for a little while. I'm going to say something further to you later with reference to what he contained in his speech, but I just want to draw your attention to it just now, that he preached a long time. Now in verse 8, here's a very practical note. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And that may not be so impressive to you when you read the next verse. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. You got any idea why that young man was sitting in the window? Just exactly the same reason that you have done it on occasion if you've ever been in a crowded, small place. You sit in the window to get air. And there, when you say there were many lights in the place, you know the lights they had were like coal oil lamps, oil lamps. They burn up the oxygen. And if you had many lights in a place, it would mean that the air would become heavy with smoke and would be depleted of oxygen, and it would just be very, very hard to listen without falling asleep. That was the situation. And Paul continued preaching until midnight in a situation where there was very poor ventilation, is actually what you have. This leads us on in the 9th verse to the practical situation that followed. This young man sitting in the window fell into a deep sleep, and he fell out the window. And you'll read here in verse 9, as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. You and I would say unconscious, looked as if he were dead. Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he had therefore When he therefore was come up again, when Paul came back from being outside where he was with this boy, this young lad, when he was come up again, had broken bread and eaten when he had participated in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper with them, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. That's the practical situation that you have here. So I'll ask you again this question. What do you think would be the subject matter of such a long message of the Apostle Paul? Why would he preach all night to these people? Well, I can tell you right now that in my judgment, he was not preaching to put over any kind of a program. And I don't think he was preaching with the idea of telling them that there were some things outside they ought to do and some things they ought not to do. I don't think he was preaching morals. I don't think he was actually preaching about any external problem at all. I certainly don't think he was preaching politics. That would keep him going along that long. You know what I think he was preaching? I think he was preaching the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This remarkable truth that you can have the life of God in you. I think he was explaining how the Holy Spirit works in your heart to take the things of Christ and make them real in you, explaining the spiritual processes, what's involved when Christ in you is the hope of glory. And in the course of doing this, I think he was interpreting Scripture. And I think they would call to mind the things they knew about the Old Testament. Paul would preach about those and show them how that would indicate certain line of truth for them. I think he spent time applying the promises of God to daily problems. God was going to keep them. They were going to rest in God. God was going to watch over them. God would trust them. And this would affect the local situation in this way or that way. And I think he was also showing how deliverance for the individual could come by way of death, by way of the cross, how you and I might be indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God. That kind of an idea needs to be talked about and talked about and talked about for people to get the notion. And this is what Paul seemed to be doing. And so we have Paul going on from place to place, preaching and teaching the gospel, exhorting the people, showing them the things of Christ. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us as we read and as we study and as we think on these things to grow in spiritual things, in sincerity and in truth. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.